Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel is here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. What are you looking at? We know you're either staring at your cell phone or your computer, because that's basically what we do these days, isn't it? What do you see that is wretched? Would you kindly send it to idea@wretched.org? Or if you have a question, comment, conundrum, or snark, feel free to fire away to, this is crazy, Jimmy's private phone number, 877-282-2337. And if he doesn't respond, it's because he's a jerk.
That's exactly what it is.
And because he can't. We apparently, we bought the software when Duran Duran was still making hits. Apparently, 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Ralph. He's wondering, he said, Todd, I'm wondering if I understood a statement you made recently that salvation cannot be lost. Are you saying repentant sinners cannot do anything wrong not to make it to heaven?
There's a lot. Okay, first of all, my statement, you can't lose your salvation. I stand by that as firmly as I'm standing here. That means a genuine born-again believer cannot sin their way out of salvation. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. What is on the list of nothing? Nothing. What is nothing? It is what rocks dream of. It's nothing. So there is nothing that even your poor performance as a Christian cannot drag you or somehow propel you out of the kingdom. Now, having said that, now let's close that door. We've got that established. Could it be that an individual who is exhibiting an unrepentant lifestyle of sin isn't a Christian? And the answer to that, of course, yes. If you keep on sinning, you're of the devil. So an individual who is not warring against sin, who is constantly just swimming in a cesspool of ugh, that individual, the Bible would say, is actually of the devil. They're not a Christian, so they're not going to lose their faith. They're acting like a pagan because they are a pagan. So your security, it is certain, because remember, it resides outside of you. Your salvation is not in you. What do you mean? Is it in a bank someplace? Oh, no, it's in a much better place. It's in the person of Jesus. That's where your salvation is. It's outside of you. It is all totally, completely him. That means it's secure and safe. He who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. He will not let you get snatched from the Father's hand. Your salvation, it is secure because it isn't up to you to keep it. Now, you're going to show that you have it in your works and your battle against sin, but that doesn't contribute to your status. You are safe because Jesus has your salvation secured in himself. Read 1 John. That will be helpful. 1 John 3, about verses 8 and 9. That the individual, however, who just loves sinning and claims to be a Christian, they would be saying, actually, what I am is a hypocrite. And that person can walk away from Christianity, but they can't walk away from the faith because they don't have it. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question is from David, and it's in regard to the scripture that talks about teaching your children and children's children. He's wondering, to what extent do grandparents have a responsibility to teach their grandkids about the Lord relative to the parents?
Teach your children's children. Okay, I'm thinking, what verse is that?
Deuteronomy 4:9.
It is. Okay, I knew it wasn't in New Testament, I thought it could be Deuteronomy when it talks about train up your child in the way you should go. And it says children's children. Yeah, then you've got a responsibility. you should do everything you can to reinforce what mom and dad are doing. Of course, it gets dicey if mom and dad aren't professing believers. Nevertheless, do you have a responsibility? Sure. Are you the one that is primarily responsible? I don't think so, because of probably in most circumstances access. But yeah, you should be seeking to go about the business of trying to teach them about Jesus.
Yeah.
Helping them memorize Bible verses in any way that you can.
I would say that it's not primary. It's kind of a reinforcing role.
Supporting them. And if I could take this opportunity, one of the greatest gifts I think we can give to our children is to praise them in front of their children. To let their kids know you got a good mom and dad. Oh, you're so blessed to have a mommy like that. Oh, God gave you a good daddy. They need to hear that from other sources, because the world's going to tell them they're idiots. They're stupid. They don't know nothing. They're toxic. They're overbearing. You got to build boundaries and put up gates and fences and let them disappear for your own sake. Of course, it is one of the most pernicious trends in our country. And I'm just thinking back to earlier this week when we talked about Oprah Winfrey, who contributed to that trend with the audacity on her podcast. Oh, isn't it terrible that kids aren't speaking to their parents anymore? You mean after you told them for decades to not talk to their parents and to protect themselves and use all of this therapeutic language to make sure that they never feel anything that is disruptive to their complete harmony and peace? So keep up the good work, Grandma and Grandpa. Or if you're from the South, Papa and Lulu. What are the Southern? Paw-paw.
Yeah. That's about
and Mama.
Yeah. Yeah. Meemaw, Maw-maw. That's what I say when I get behind a slow person driving. Come on, Meemaw.
Do you get to pick what you're called as a grandparent?
I think so.
No, don't do the Meemaw. I want grandmother. Something
very formal.
Well, whatever it is, whatever you choose, but do you get to choose it or does it just happen?
I think, and
I got to tell you something that I love the South. I love living here. I will say it. For as long as I have breath, this is a super groovy place to live. But man, my northern ear, when I hear Meemaw and Pawpaw, it's like, that is so Southern.
It is.
877-282-2337.
You look like a Pops.
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 You know what I want to, you know what? Grandpa, because I had a grandpa.
You had a grandpa, yeah.
We could call him Gramps, too. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, I think it's because of the Italian, Nani. But Nani is the term that a lot of people use for grandmother. I'm not sure Mrs. Friel's going to go for that. 877-282-2337.
This is a text from Anonymous. Todd, are near-death experiences with visions of heaven legitimate?
Yeah, I want to tackle that carefully because your brain can do all kinds of stuff. So when you say, are visions legitimate in that, are you actually having some sort of a vision? Sure, you're seeing stuff. The question is, of course, is it actually, are you viewing heaven or is it your brain just synapsing and doing all kinds of stuff? I don't think that you're getting a glimpse of heaven. You can feel like, wow, I really saw it. Well, your brain can make you see lots of stuff. Your brain can create all kinds of images, especially it's not uncommon for people who are on the throes of death to think that they're seeing something actual when in reality it's their brain creating images. But we don't have biblical permission to say that that God has just given you a little glimpse of heaven. And we also see these other stories. You got a glimpse of hell. You know, your brain sure did create that, but it wasn't actual, because we don't get to go back and forth. And we aren't an apostle, and we aren't writing inspired Bible. And so we just don't get that. And besides that, that undermines the doctrine of the authority of Scripture. I don't need it. Furthermore, it's fascinating, isn't it? Paul actually did receive a glimpse of heaven. Did he share the deets? Nope. Too much. This is too much to even relate. And so we see just no precedent in the Bible that we get to get a peek into heaven, unless, of course, we're just reading our Bibles. And that's plenty. If you've never read Randy Elkhorn's book, Heaven, I do commend it to you. It's going to challenge you. It really will challenge you. But I think ultimately it's going to excite you. And it is good to think about what heaven is like. And when you do, it's like, whoa, you mean we're going to be doing that? You mean my body is going to be like that? You mean we are going to get to see God and spend time? Let's go, Lord. Either come back or take me home because I want to be there real bad. And you can use your sanctified imagination all you want, but that's different than getting a view of heaven. We get a view of heaven through knowledge, through revealed scripture, and through the pictures that are painted for us, even in Revelation. So think much about heaven. But don't expect to be having some sort of a journey or spiritual door open for you, even if you happen to be near death. And if you are near death, you're going to be there soon enough. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder. Pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. So they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bigney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like sensus literalis. The Bible is to be read in the literal sense, the way the author and original audience would have understood it. There is no code, no secret meaning to be uncovered. The Bible is plainly written so that all people can know God through its pages.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let us get down with our bad selves.
1-877-282-BEEP.
At least as bad as we can. This is Wretched Radio. That's the number of the old toll-free. Why don't you send us something, including comments? Certainly, you talk back to us. Put those thumbs to work. And let us know what you're thinking. 877-282-2337.
Okay, this is a question from Seth. Todd, to keep it short, I miss Steve Lawson. He was a really exceptional preacher. Yeah. And I was just wondering your thoughts on whether it would be wise to still listen to a fallen preacher's messages.
The Afferon. It's up to you. There are some people that they just couldn't do it because of that. But there are others who are like, I can see past that. I can glean. I can get the good stuff out of it. And it doesn't compromise their walk. So how do you know? I think the better test is, does it do anything that causes you to compromise or stumble in any way? If it does, don't. If it doesn't, it's optional. You can or you can't. 877-282. We did drive-by theology together. It was awesome. It was really awesome. But we decided to remove it simply because, and we didn't want to be providing something that might cause somebody to kind of trip up a little bit, because some people are like, I can't do that. And to you, I would say, then you absolutely shouldn't do that. 877-282-2337.
Now, this is from Alexandra. Todd, I've recognized that I tend to fall more into the workspace ditch. I believe I'm a Christian. My only hope for salvation is in Christ. But I've also noticed that when I do something I know honors God, I feel like he's happier with me. And when I feel, quote unquote, neutral or sinful, I think he's more angry or unhappy with me. Any advice?
Yeah, I need to listen better, or Jimmy needs to articulate better. Dude. I'm immediately going, oh, so she's a workaholic, because I heard you say work space.
Works based.
Yeah, see, there it is. Okay, you know what? It's you. It's on you. I mean, okay, some people are workaholics. That is something you got to watch out for. We should be working people. We should be hardworking people. Simultaneously, there are other responsibilities. And there's also your walk with the Lord. So we should be hard. And there's a lot of people who can fall into the ditch of work. I could trip there. I might even be in that ditch, quite honestly. I like to work. I do. I like to. I'm also married. And, you know, there's some responsibilities there. And I've got kids. And, you know, we do some stuff around here and at the church. So you got to find that balance, but that's different than works based. Boy, now I know why you kind of slurred over it. That's a kind of a bit of a, isn't it? Works based.
Yep.
Yeah.
Little bit.
Work. So this is an individual who has a tendency. Work. We're all that way. I think that's our natural bent. Even as believers, there's just a little something inside of us that goes, I think I better just make sure. I think I better contribute something. I gotta do something here to secure or make my salvation steady. Well, that propensity needs to be warred against. And it doesn't mean that you accept that propensity just because we all seem to have that tendency. You need to be listening to other sermons. Now, I'm not saying stop listening to the sermons that you're listening to, but you need to be listening to sermons that remind you it is all of Christ, all of Jesus. You do nothing. And you need to simply be reminded of that over and over and over again. We all do, quite honestly. I was just reading a treatment, somebody's treatment on, it was the history or the study of preaching. And there was actually, it struck me because it said that because we all have the bent toward work righteousness, that means the preacher has that bent too. And then if you've got that bent from the pulpit and the person in the pew has that bent, you got to be really, really careful to make sure that we are Protestants in our preaching. We are saved by grace alone, faith alone, in Christ alone, and we rejoice in that. Now, doesn't mean we're not willing to talk about sanctification and the necessity of the believer actually bearing fruit in keeping with salvation, but we're the people who can, we should be pronouncing and announcing, just like the epistles do, grace, grace, grace. Now go do stuff. You got to have that. We're in 1 Peter right now at Alpharetta Bible Church, and that is exactly what, that is the pattern in 1 Peter. Everybody tends to use Ephesians and to talk about the first three chapters, man, it's just all gospel, gospel, gospel. It's all the indicatives before you get to the imperatives, and then 4, 5, 6. Yeah, well, that's true. But it's also true of 1 Peter. 1 Peter, ask yourself the question, what in the world is Peter doing by giving 13 verses on the gospel up front when he's addressing people who are suffering? They're suffering. And he just, gospel, 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 gospel. What's he doing? He's laying the foundation. Everything that you are, everything that you're supposed to be doing, it is based on salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And so then when he goes about the business of addressing sanctification, submission, and suffering, it's grounded in grace. And that is Christian preaching. That is preaching that regularly proclaims the good news that all of the work is done because of Jesus Christ. And we rest in that. And because of that, then we live in that and we bear fruit because of that. Any preaching that doesn't present it that way, any sermon that doesn't make sure that every single command that is given, there's an echo of the gospel surrounding it, it's going to cause people to lean toward works. It just will. And it's very easy to do as a preacher, so give your pastor a pass when he does that on occasion, because it's an easy thing to do. But you need to hear more preaching that encourages you and reminds you. Your works, P.U., they're filthy rags, dog vomit, stench of an open grave, the pus from an open wound, but not the works of Jesus. Perfect, spectacular, magnificent, oh, and plentiful, and you get them all. You get them all, and you rest in that, and then you go to work because of that, not in order to attain that. I'm sorry, can't help it. So this is why I encouraged you at the beginning of the year to consider slowing down in your reading. We're in 1 Peter 1. Todd, you've told us. We're in 1 Peter 1 right now. We just started. We did 1 Peter 1:1, which I called the envelope. Peter, the apostle of Jesus Christ, 2. So it's just the envelope. Well, we're getting as far as verse 2 this Sunday. Not every Sunday will be this way, Alpharetta Bible Church. We won't do one verse a week, but it is this magnificent greeting. But loaded inside of this greeting, it's interesting, isn't it? It talks about our Trinitarian salvation. Now, why is that there? Peter already is saying, don't forget who you are. I know you're suffering. We'll talk about that in some detail, but you need to remember that you are elect, chosen by the foreknowledge of God from the redemptive work of the Holy Spirit by the blood of Jesus Christ to obey him. Remember that. Remember, keep remembering that. And then the actual salutation, which is not a formality, may grace and peace be multiplied unto you. It's connected to that aforementioned Trinitarian salvation verse. Think about your salvation. You have been elected. That's who you are, alien. That's who you are, stranger. That's your foundation for life and for living. That, yeah, there's wanderings, there's struggles, there's suffering and pain, but you are his, which is actually the title of the sermon for this Sunday. Did I mention we're doing 1 Peter at Alpharetta Bible Church? You're his. You're his. Look for sermon titles like that. Look for sermon titles that don't indicate that I was just reading some. Yeah, okay, I know where I was reading them and I don't need to mention the source. It was all the, you know, how to experience, how to spend, they're going to just weigh you down because they're all life hack messages. And what does that mean? Do, do stuff. All right, we don't ignore the imperatives, but if the sermon is just all about how you're supposed to change, what you're supposed to do, how you can get along better, how you can have a happier home, how to do stuff, you're going to start leaning toward works. You just will. Okay, this is what Christianity is about, doing stuff. Uh-oh, I'm not doing enough stuff. That must mean I'm not a Christian. That's why you need to look for sermons that still have imperatives, to be certain, that still talk about wrath and judgment, the fear of the Lord, but that will also make sure that your foundation in your thinking is remembering that you are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, wrought by the Holy Spirit alone. That's your identity. That's who you are. You are His. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Now, Minneapolis has installed what might be the most efficient one-party system outside of communist China. They've elected democratic socialists as both their majority and minority leaders. Yeah, you heard me right. Aisha Chugtai will lead the majority, while fellow DSA member Robin Wunsley leads the minority, representing the same political movement. When a moderate council member pointed out this Orwellian absurdity, noting that the two leaders vote identically, the progressive majority simply shrugged. Speaking of fraud masquerading as governance, a whistleblower in Maine tried exposing what he describes as absolute fraud at Gateway Community Services, a nonprofit serving Somalia refugees, that allegedly overbilled Maine taxpayers by $904,000 in just 2 years. And when COVID relief arrived, the real looting began. $2,000 bonuses handed out to staff who'd been employed for 2 weeks and never worked a single shift with clients. The whistleblower's reward for trying to stop the bleeding? Well, he was fired, and the owner took the money and ran for political office back in Somalia. And the University of Illinois will be hosting a Big Ten Trans Research Symposium coming up in March, part of a three-year, $30,000 project to build transgender studies across 18 universities. The stated goal is fighting authoritarian efforts to eradicate trans life, which apparently means any attempt to acknowledge biological reality. The symposium promises to examine how the dominant frame of binary gender is inscribed in the practices of all academic fields. Translation, they're getting paid to argue that math, chemistry, and history are all secretly oppressing people by recognizing that humans come in two sexes and two sexes only. The Wyoming Supreme Court just overruled the state legislature, striking down two pro-life laws and discovering a constitutional right to abortion that somehow escaped everyone's notice until 2026. The 4-1 ruling nullifies both Wyoming's general abortion ban and the nation's first law specifically targeting chemical abortion pills. The court concluded that abortion qualifies as health care under the state constitution, despite the minor detail that its purpose is destroying innocent human life. Finally, a South Korean survey reveals Christianity scores the lowest in public favorability at 34.7 points, trailing Buddhism and Catholicism significantly. Yet Christian believers report the strongest personal impact from their faith. 84% say religion affects their daily lives versus 47% of Buddhists, and 92% credit their faith with helping ethical behavior. Maybe genuine transformation matters a little bit more than popularity contests. Just saying. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who He is and what He has done. Jesus is called the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation means a wrath-removing sacrifice. Jesus bore God's wrath on our behalf, and in return, we receive His righteous standing before God the Father. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Want to tell you, but I can't tell you. This is Wretched Radio. Two things that just eat me alive on the inside, but I can't share it with you. But please be on the alert. All I can say is we're going to be making an announcement here at Fortis Institute very, very soon. Guess what? We're adding a new fellow And it's a big deal. And you know who that fellow is. And I think you're going to be thrilled to pieces, but I can't tell you who it is.
What?
It's killing me on the inside. Is this what discretion is like? Is this what it means to keep a secret? It's hard.
I'm trying to think. Can I guess? Will you tell me if I guess?
No.
It's me.
All right, fine. It's Jimmy. Second, would like to share with you, but I can't till next week. We'll take the time then to talk about what you might be able to do in your Sunday school or your midweek that could bring a little zip to it. Why? Because last night we did something at Alpharetta Bible Church. And it's really, really cool. And I'll share it with you next week because every teacher wants the class to be engaged. Please contribute. What do you think? Hey, do you know the answer to that question? And so many times the poor person is up there just like a flag just flapping in the wind. Have something that might change all of that, but I can't talk about it now. Instead, we're going to talk about VOO. That's right. You didn't know I spoke Spanish, did you? We're going to talk about VU and what you send to idea@wretched.org or text to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text. You good?
A little exhausted.
You need one of them inhaler things?
Did you see the email of the fellow who basically requested that I don't breathe anymore?
I did see that one. That's not actually my fault. But
I don't know how to do that. Well, there's some time. Okay.
He said,
we need some updating with our equipment here. I mean, the stuff that we have is good, back in 1964. But right now it needs, so it's a channel thing. So when we do something with the thing and then the doohickey does that.
That's exactly right.
Then you can hear my breathing.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I'm sorry for that. I'll do my best not to, which would actually probably please no small amount of people. 877-282-2337.
Right, this is a text from Anonymous, and he's asking about eschatology, but this is more an ecclesiology question, I think.
Oh, good.
He says, Todd, would it be wise or unwise for someone with a pre-trib eschatology to go to a church that believes in a pro-trib, a post-trib rapture?
It can work, okay? It can work. Unless one of the parties insists that everybody needs to be on the same page, then it's not going to work. If you are the exception to the church rule, then you need to be willing to say, I will not propagate this. I will not try to persuade people. I'm not going to go against the grain of this church. I'm going to honor that and I'm going to zip, zip, zip it. If you can do that, then it is a possibility. Simultaneously, there are some churches who would say, no, you need to be in perfect alignment with all of our theology, including eschatology. Well, if that's the case, then unless you're willing to convert, then no. Then it's just simply not going to work. It can work. And even if, by the way, if let's just say that you're willing to zip it and the church is willing to accept you, you might find it difficult if it's a thing for the church. It's the pastor's bailiwick. This is, he just is on this all the time. And you might just get to the point where it's like, enough! Things aren't getting better. They're going to get worse. And then you stomp out. You don't want that to happen. So with all of those aforementioned considerations and caveats, yeah, you can. Just get that stuff worked out in advance. Always the smart thing to do. 877. Why are you doing that face?
I wasn't that. No, I agree.
No,
with
you were doing a face.
I was
trust me, I'm looking at it. You're doing a face.
I was going to say...
There it is.
Yeah, it is. I was going to say that what you said is absolutely right. I also think that it can be a problem if it's in the church's statement of faith and you're required to sign it to become a member.
I said that.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said that.
Okay.
Where'd you go?
Maybe I wasn't paying attention at that
moment.
Well,
that wouldn't be anything new. I've learned to live with that.
Okay.
It's okay. Love you anyway. 877-282-2337.
All right. Todd, this is from Anonymous. I'm wondering if it's wrong to ask God for a sign, particularly with decisions I make in my life, small scale things. Sometimes I don't know whether I should do particular things. And sometimes I ask God to reveal what I should do or give me a sign. Is this wrong?
Oh, I've got such good news for you. There is a better way to make decisions. And every time you pull the trigger, you're going to be in God's will. Let me explain that. Do we have, I don't think we still have that. That was an old resource that we had, 5 steps of decision making where you will be in God's will each and every time. And furthermore, even if you don't follow the steps and you make a decision that was a stinker, you're still in God's will because you're always in God's will. Nothing happens outside of his providential will. I think the Bible gives us a more sure way to know God's mind. We already have all of the information that we need in Scripture. That's where we start. Has God provided enough for me to know what I'm supposed to be doing? And the answer to that is a definitive yes. So we know that we've got everything we need and we don't need a sign. Here's the problem with supposed signs: interpretation. You sure that was the sign? You sure that was God giving you the signal? Could it have been Satan? Could it be that you are interpreting it wrongly? Are you listening correctly? And so it's fraught with all kinds of danger for you. So let me encourage you to find an awful lot of peace in making a decision by, first of all, starting out by praying, not for a sign, not for the answer. God, it just doesn't work that way. Now, that doesn't mean that God couldn't just boink, give you the answer in your brain. No, but he can do that. Is that the normative pattern that we're supposed to follow for decision making? Absolutely not. You'll go crazy. Besides, you've got thoughts all day, every day. How do you know that's God giving you that thought? So pray, but pray for wisdom. Lord, I want to be wise. And doesn't he signal out wisdom? You don't have it because you don't ask for it. So ask for wisdom. I'll give you wisdom. He wants you to be wise. So ask him for wisdom. Ask him for a humble heart. Ask him to help you receive outside biblical input into your situation. That's where you start. Then you go read your Bible for everything that the scriptures have to teach on that subject. Everything. You need to become biblically knowledgeable. Then, number 3, find people who are older believers with experience and ask them to speak into your life. Biblically. Do you hear the pattern here? Now, number 4, consider your preferences. What do you like? God allows that. There's room for that. Now, of course, sometimes he slams that door because it's sinful, but he does allow for preferences, this house or that house. You're going, I don't know, 2,200 square feet, 1,800 square feet. Which one do you prefer? Now you do the numbers and all of that. That's being a good steward, which would be a part, by the way, of your biblical study of house buying. I want to be a good steward. What does that look like? Furthermore, I want to consider my testimony. What does my address say to anybody who drives by who's a Christian or not? That all falls underneath the umbrella of studying the Bible on the subject. But then after you've received input from others, what's your preference on the situation? Then pull that trigger, make a decision. And you can rest saying, I did this in the most God-honoring way that I possibly could. And that means even if it turns out poorly, you can rest in that is God's will for your life. Let's say you skipped a step and you did it sinfully. Well, you can repent for that, but you're still in God's will. So follow the biblical pattern and you can rest and sleep at night knowing you are making godly decisions. You're back again. Were you breathing?
I was.
Well, you know rule around here.
I have some wonderful news. That resource is available on Fortis Plus.
Is it really?
Decisions are decisions.
Oh, do it. You know what? Maybe we need to pull that down.
Why?
Because it looks like it's my son teaching it. That thing is so old. It's just ancient. But it's helpful.
It is.
It's basically what I just said. So let me just save you some pain from looking at that grainy video. 877-282-2337.
This is from Josiah Todd.
Bring that up.
At what point does a hobby become an idol?
When you've got to do it, play it, conquer it, succeed. You give more time to it than you ought. You say, how much time is that? Ask your spouse. Ask your children. Are you able to pay your bills? You got to make sure that you've got balance in your life. And remember, balance, when it comes to the Christian walk, it can morph. It doesn't always look the same every single day or every single season. But something, whether it's a hobby, whether it's work, whether it's Netflix, whatever it is, you got to get family input. And furthermore, get input from others at church. This is why it's good for you to be in a local church plugged in, where you can say to people, hey, want to run something by you. My wife's not really happy that I'm spending 7 hours a day collecting seashells, because I assume that's your hobby. What do you think about it? And let them speak into your life. Let your wife say, yeah, honey, I think you do. And then you know what you do? You dial it back and you find the balance, which can look different every single season of your life. This is Wretched Radio.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. Soft or harsh, passive or angry. But scripture paints a different picture altogether. A man who's strong and gentle, leading with conviction and compassion. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Crotts. It's streaming now on Fortis Plus. It's not macho, nor is it passive, but it's biblically strong and spiritually steady. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Men don't guess at manhood. They learn it from God's Word. Gentleman, exclusively on Fortis Plus.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You know that moment at 3 a.m. when you can't sleep, everything is quiet, and you're alone with the truth about who you really are versus who everyone thinks you are? Your wife trusts you, your kids look up to you, the guys at church think you've got it all together, but you know better. You know the secret battles, the deleted history, the promises you keep breaking to yourself and to God. Here's what took me way too long to figure out. You can't fix a spiritual problem with human solutions. Accountability software won't change your heart. White knuckling it through another week won't either. And Todd Friel is getting to the heart of this issue with his resource, Play the Man. It doesn't give you another list of rules. It shows you how Christ actually changes men from the inside out. How he replaces the wanting, not just the doing. The man your family deserves, that guy is possible, but not through your own strength. It's going to be through the strength of Christ working through you. Play the Man. It's available now as an ebook, an audiobook, and a video series only at fortisplus.org, because real men know when they need real help.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord of our righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 tells us that God made Jesus, who knew no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Go ahead. Riddle me this. This is Wretched Radio. There's something called misophonia. Do you have it? When you hear a particular sound, it just shoots through you. It's like, stop that noise. Stop that noise. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you're blessed. But if you crinkles, ice chewing, nail clipping.
Yeah, I know you love the nail clipping.
Certain sounds that just make you go, oh, please stop. I think I've got that. And I think it's getting worse, because rappers right now, like if you open up a protein bar, one of us is going to have to leave. And here's the other one. Then this is the, I held in my hand a bottle of, who's made the Great Value?
That's Walmart water.
Okay, got Walmart water in my, a bottle. I don't normally drink a bottle of water, but here it is in my hand. And this is very similar to the bottle, although this one's a little thicker than the ones that we get at Costco for Mrs. Friel. So we go for walks. That's kind of our thing. We get our steps in, and she always brings a bottle of water, and she makes the sound.
The entire time?
Every time. No, she can't, it's in it, she can't help it.
Yeah.
Every time you go to open the thing, it makes the noise. And it just, sweetheart, please with the bottle, could you stop? Or, you know, just holding it, just walking, and we're walking along, and all I hear is, and it's that loud, and it is that jarring. Now, it's fascinating. There's somebody get on the AI machine and sort what this is, because I know it's something. If you make that sound, I can stand here and make it all day. Doesn't bother me a bit.
Somebody else makes it.
Somebody else makes it. And it's not, clearly it's not because I disdain the person. What is that phenomenon? It should be the noise, but suddenly it's my hand squeezing and making the noise. I'm okay with it. What is that? It's got to be ask the AI machine, Jimmy.
Okay.
You just have to sort out how to ask that question. In the meantime, your questions, 877-282-2337.
Joanne is wondering, should the church give a platform for Disney plays to be done on stage, the same stage from which God's word is taught?
I know how I want to answer this, but it's more multi-layered than just, oh, what do you put a Disney play on for at your church? I'm not going to do that. I want to, but I'm not going to do that. Is the sanctuary sacred? Is there anything holy about that particular space? Now, some people, probably Presbyterian, and I don't mean that flippantly, would go about the business of making the case, yes, that area really is a sacred place. All right, in that case, nothing else should be going on there. But if you believe that the only things that are sacred, if you will, are the things that God identifies as being holy and set apart, and now you some people would make the argument, and I would be hard pressed to argue against them. Well, we did. We said, hey, this space is dedicated to you. Well, if that's the case, then you shouldn't be breaking the dedication. But in general, I would say that space, can it be used for other things? Yes. Do I think it should be? And I'm going to say no without making a law, because I think it communicates something. I think it says what we do in this space, it's just like that. It's no different. So we've got a dog grooming competition on the platform where we do the preaching. What does that speak? What does that say? So do I think that it's sinning to use the platform for other activities? I can't say that as much as everything in me says yes, because you can't make a law where there is no law. But I do believe it communicates. I do believe that it speaks. Now, as far as Disney goes, that's sending another signal, isn't it? You put on a Disney play, in my estimation, that is the church giving the imprimatur to Disney and all things Disney. And these days, tragically, I don't think we should be doing that, because Disney is all about the messaging. Oh, what was the show that we were watching? Oh, man. Okay, it was last weekend. It was date night, so we've waited long enough. If you've ever wondered really how cheap we are, well, then here you go, right here. So we watched, I think, the first two or three seasons of Downton Abbey. And then it just kind of seemed, I think, was it Matthew, the first husband, died? And it just kind of seemed to change, and we just lost interest. But it's like we had a place in our heart because that music is so captivating, isn't it? That's, at any rate, we wanted to see the movie. Supposedly, at least with this group of people, the last Downton Abbey movie, although I think there's plenty more to come with a new generation. Nevertheless, that's my speculation. We decided we were going to watch it, but we were going to wait until it was free. Because 1999 to watch a movie? I know it's cheaper than going to the theater, but that's how frugal we are. So it was like, oh, hey, we were going to watch the Downton Abbey movie. So we pulled the thing up. I think it was $3.99. And we went, okay, we'll splurge. It's date night. Wow, was it loaded with messaging. Wow, somehow they got Noel Coward involved. You know Noel Coward. This was a man who has contributed mightily to expressive individualism. You got to let yourself go, man, and don't let society hold you down. And this the entire Downton Abbey episode, this movie that we watched, was all about accepting people that we didn't used to accept. It moved from, hey, we're moving out of the Victorian era in the way that our society is stratted and the way that we have royalty and don't have working class. Is there upward mobility, communication? Do we want the telephone in the house? Those used to be the issues. This was, you've got to accept people who are LGBTQ. That's what it was about. And it was loud and thunderous to the point where I'm like, oh, I want my $3.99 back so bad. You talk about a movie with a message. Hey, Jimmy, what did we learn about the AI machine?
What did we learn about the noises?
Yes.
Okay, so it all sits under misophonia. But what you're talking about particularly, if you want to put a label on it, they would say sensory attenuation.
Okay.
Because when you make the sound, your brain basically predicts it because you know you're making that sound. And that's why it kind of turns your brain kind of turns it down.
Yeah.
When someone else makes it, it's unpredictable.
But here's why I don't buy that.
Why?
Because, if you came into my studio right now, grabbed this and started doing it, I'm looking at you. Yeah. Hey, Todd. I'm going to do the crinkle thing. Get ready. And I'm looking at you. You start doing it. I'm going to jump out of my skin.
Okay.
So I'm not buying that. What? Attenuation?
Yeah. Sensory attenuation.
Not buying it.
Okay.
Say that.
I'm going to send a strongly worded email to AI.
Okay. I'm going to try to put it through a biblical counseling filter. I think it's because it's me. I don't do annoying things. Even crinkles don't bother me because I'm doing it. I think that's my biblical counseling filter there.
I'm glad that you
running my misophonia.
I'm glad you don't annoy you because I annoy me.
877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous.
Hold on to Anonymous for just a moment. I've got two emails I want to share with you, Jimmy.
Okay. What is it?
Oh, I'm sorry. This is radio. I got an email from James HarperCollins, book covers for Go Serve Your King, the book that I'm done with that will be coming out sometime. I've learned to not give dates. And he sent, that one's pretty right there. Oh, that one looks nice, right? Sorry, only I can see that. Here's the second email. These are subtitles. You tell me what you like, Jimmy. Which one speaks to you? Remember, the book title is called Go Serve Your King.
Okay.
Here's one. How to joyfully live for the glory of God.
Okay. Not bad.
It's okay.
It's all right.
The surprising joy of living for Christ. I like that one better.
Okay.
Well, I'd like more joy. Yeah. And the joy is found in serving Jesus. All right. You didn't like that one. Fine. I'll tell him. The surprising joy of surrendering to Christ, because that's what really the premise of the book is. You become indentured to Jesus and you experience more freedom and more joy. That's the counterintuitive just the way things work. You submit to Jesus more and more and more, and you experience more liberty and more shalom. All right, you don't like that one. You don't like any of these.
I didn't say that.
I am so telling. Training your heart to love the one who saved you. Training your heart to love the one who saved you.
Bit wordy.
You are just being so unhelpful right now.
I'm very critical.
All right. How Christ makes every moment meaningful.
Yeah, I do like that one.
Well, you do?
I do like that one.
Well, then, my work here is through.
Thanks, James.
Till tomorrow, go serve your king.